How many brought the Word of God with you to church tonight? It's great. Praise the Lord. Let's pray over His Word before we look into it tonight. Heavenly Father, always an honor, and we are so thankful for Your Word that You have given to us to teach us, to instruct us, to give us revelation of who You are, Lord. And we are so blessed and so thankful that Your Word is living and active, that is quick and powerful to work in our lives and to pull down every stronghold. And tonight, as we look to Your Word, we ask, Lord, that Your voice is the only voice that we would hear, that God, You would come and speak and encourage and strengthen the body of believers tonight, we pray, in Your mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, our title tonight is The Throne Room of Heaven. We are told in God's word that He sits on His throne in heaven. His throne speaks of His divine authority. It speaks of the place where He sits as He searches the hearts of men, as He examines our lives according to His righteousness. It is the place where He rules above every other dominion and kingdom. And it is the place where He fights for us with such a holy passion and zeal. In Psalm 11, verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. King David praised God for His throne of righteousness. In Psalm 9, verse 1 and 3 to 4, I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at Your presence. For You have maintained my rights and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of Your throne. Mercy and truth go before Your face. God's word is clear that His throne is a throne of judgment. But I am so thankful tonight that it is also a throne of mercy. And it is a throne of passion towards us. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to our main passage tonight, which is in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is the purpose of this apostle writing these verses to us? The verses prior to this portion of scripture here, they show us the importance and the urgency of us coming to this throne of grace and mercy to find help in our time of need. It shows us the importance of us drawing near to the throne room of heaven, to the most intimate place of the glory of God, to the deepest place of His very presence upon our lives. These verses prior to this section, they admonish us to live with the focus of ensuring that we will be able to enter into the promise of eternal life. Verse 1 of this chapter in Hebrews 4, it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Let us fear lest anyone seems to come short of the kingdom of heaven. We must take the word of God seriously upon our lives, church. Verse 2 goes on to say, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. There were those who sat under the preaching of God's word. There were those who heard the word of God, but they did not enter into the promise of eternal life. They did not gain the spiritual inheritance that the Lord desired for every person to walk into because they did not mix their hearing with their faith. They did not apply the word of God once they had heard it. When we become saved, we know that we are called to leave the old life behind and follow the ways of Christ. This is our life of faith. To believe on Jesus is not just a state of mind. Can you say amen? It must go beyond our words. It must go beyond just what we say, and it must be evidenced by a true repentance, by a changed life. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Call on Jesus and you will be saved. Yes, that is the promise of the scripture for us. But then there is a working out of our salvation that is required of us. And only the grace of God, the love of God, the passion of God for our lives works within us to accomplish our salvation as we are diligent to be obedient to his ways. To enter into the promised rest, eternal life with Jesus, to receive his power, it requires us to be hearers and doers of the word. It requires us to be changed by the word. Deuteronomy chapter 30, it speaks about this matter. And God said, behold, today I have placed before you life and good. I have placed before you death and evil. I have placed before you blessing and cursing. And every single day we are given the choice whom we will serve. And we are commanded to love the Lord our God with everything within us. And we are commanded to walk according to his ways. This is not new teaching tonight. This is not new information to us. But there is an urgency upon our lives to choose Christ, to choose obedience to his word. We must take up our cross every day and follow him. We must die to our flesh. We must overcome the sin and the temptation of the world around us and choose godliness. We are continually faced with temptation. We are faced with the human weaknesses, the temptation to choose our own path. We are continually faced with the temptation to choose the life that seems comfortable, that seems easy. We are faced with the temptation and the weakness of our flesh even to settle and to live a watered-down Christian life where we are never challenged or convicted to be changed into the image of Christ. And this is a shame for any of us who have ever chosen that way of life. And so there is an urgency upon us and there is a call of the Holy Spirit to choose the life of Christ, to choose his path. Those who will enter into the promised rest of eternity with Christ are those who overcome the temptations and the weaknesses of the flesh. Revelation 2, verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Can you hear the Holy Spirit tonight? Are your ears open tonight? Is your heart open tonight to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to my life? He goes on to say, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Revelation 3, verse 5, he who overcomes, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Can you say tonight that you desire to be one who overcomes the temptations, the sin, the weaknesses of the flesh, the work of the enemy that is trying to keep you from entering into this eternal life? The love and sacrifice of Christ purchased our freedom. Let us deny the popular path, or so it seems. Let us deny that path that only leads to serving self, and let us crucify our flesh and serve our Savior with honor. Verses 6 to 7, a few verses down in Hebrews 4, is the urging of the Holy Spirit to us. Since, therefore, it remains that those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I pray we would choose obedience, that we would choose faith and faithfulness to God's ways. Well, how can we ensure that our hearts are fully surrendered, that our lives are committed to following Christ, to ensure that we enter into the spiritual victory and inheritance? Verse 12, a few verses down. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Familiar verse to us, but it is God's word that will strengthen and empower us to be overcomers and to be faithful to his ways. Let us eat the word of God. Let it be our daily bread. Let it be as living waters to our lives. Let the word of God be as revelation to us that would reveal to us any areas that we might need to repent of or ask forgiveness. Let it be as a sword that would cut away any parts of our flesh that are not pleasing to the Lord, any parts of words or our character. Let it cut away those areas. Let it be as a sword that would empower us to live holy and pleasing unto the Lord. Verses 1 to 13 in Hebrews chapter 4, it shows us that there is an eternal rest that God calls us to obtain. But it also shows us the weakness of our flesh. And how the truth is, there are some who will not enter this rest because they do not choose God's ways. But then this chapter ends with a different voice, ends with an encouraging measure to us, that if we will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in this matter, it says that Jesus welcomes us. He invites us. He encourages us to surrender to him, and he will receive us. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16 in the NIV. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Number one tonight is draw near to the throne. Draw near to the throne. Verse 16 in the NASB says, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Other translations, they say, step boldly, approach, come near. We are urged to make the choice to draw near to the very throne of God, to enter into the most holy place of his presence through our surrender, through our deep prayers, our deep worship unto him. In the Old Testament, the presence of God dwelt in the most holy place inside the tabernacle. Outside of the most holy place, as I know we are all familiar with, was the inner court or the holy place. And outside of that was the outer court. And there were only certain people who were allowed to enter into the holy place. And only once a year the most high priest could enter into the most holy place where the very glory of God resided to be able to make petitions on behalf of the people. But I'm so thankful that the glorious truth and invitation for us is that Jesus, through his shed blood, made a way for every one of us to enter into the most holy place, to enter into that most intimate place where the glory and power of Jesus resides. This is what the most holy place represents for us tonight. We do not need to stand in the outer court and worship God from afar. We have the privilege and the high honor of drawing close to his throne, and he welcomes us, and he admonishes us to move past the outer court, to move past even the inner court, and to press into the most holy place where his glory and his power resides for us, where he is sitting on the throne. The most holy place is the intimate place that he invites us to draw near and to encounter the power of his glory. And you know, the courts of this tabernacle, they can represent our level of surrender. They could possibly represent the level of our worship and purity, the level of our passionate pursuit after the heart of Christ. Because the truth is that there are many Christians who remain in the outer courts. They worship God from afar. You can remain in the outer court and never experience the full blessing and the full power of the Holy Spirit, the entire spiritual victory and breakthrough that God desires for your life. If you stand in the foyer and never enter the sanctuary, you can miss the voice of God. I am speaking figuratively tonight. If you surrender only part of your life, you will miss out on the fullness that Christ has for you that is found in the very throne room of heaven. If you stand in the sanctuary and choose not to worship, or only worship with partial sincerity and truth, you will miss out on the fullness of his glory, on the full breakthrough, on the greatest spiritual victory that you have ever known. And Jesus has made a way for our very lives to be changed, for our hearts to be free and fulfilled in him. But it requires us to leave some things at the door in order to press into that most holy place. It requires a heart that seeks him with absolutely everything that is within us. It requires a voice that is unashamed and not afraid to shout and to sing the praises of our Most High God. It requires a pressing in. It even requires a cleansing sometimes. It requires a full faith and confidence that God is moving, even if you can't see it. It requires a full faith and a full surrender trust in knowing that God's ways and his thoughts for sure are always higher than our own. You see, church, the devil is not afraid of your church attendance. He's not afraid of the fact that you attend church week after week. But as soon as you begin to surrender, and as soon as you begin to get hungry and you move past the outer court and you move past and you press in, even past the Holy of Holies, as soon as you desire to go a little further and a little deeper in your worship, that's when the enemies tremble. That is when Satan becomes to be afraid, because he understands the power of a surrendered life. He understands that when you worship with such abandon, that when you press in and you say, Jesus, you are all that I seek, you are all that I want, would you change me? He understands the victory and the breakthrough that is on the other side of your faith and your trust. And that is when the enemies tremble and they flee. Do not stand in the outer courts. And some of you might say, well, doesn't God hear me in the outer court? Yes, he does. Does he still love me if I worship partially? Absolutely, he does. But don't you want the fullness of what he has for you? You see, there is more. And the Lord beckons us and he draws us to the throne of grace. He draws us to get into the most holy place, to get hungry and desperate to see his kingdom come, to see more of what he would want to do in our lives. Hebrews chapter 4 urges us to not merely attend church, but to go deeper, to go further, to go higher, to press into the most holy place, to receive breakthrough, strength, and victory in Christ. Seek the Lord while he may be found, is the cry of the Spirit unto the churches. We can come to church, yet not draw near to the throne room of heaven. There is a fight for your life tonight. There are some of you sitting here tonight, and there is a battle for your worship. There is a battle for your voice. There is a battle for your surrender and for your prayer life. There is a battle for you to not enter into the most holy place, to not even enter into that spiritual rest, that eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. A compromised, watered-down Christianity will lead to spiritual dryness. And there is more. Jesus promises that there is fullness and breakthrough in living waters. And he urges us every day to choose to draw near to the throne room of heaven. Do not stay in the foyer of your hearts. Get into the prayer room. Every day get into the secret place. And every time you get into that most holy place, the devil will flee and you will experience spiritual victory every single time in the name of Jesus. Number two, receive grace and mercy. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Passion Translation says, so now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. This throne of grace has been set up so God can meet with us. One commentary says this, mercy and grace are the things we want. If you didn't know it before, now you do. Mercy and grace are the things we want. Mercy to pardon all our sins and grace to purify our souls. You see, there are definite areas of our lives where we ought to be desperate for the mercies, for the grace of God to change our hearts and situations around us. And once we draw near and we enter into the throne room of his presence, the most holy place, we are told that it is a throne of grace and mercy, a throne of righteousness. The word grace here is the word charis, which is translated that which affords joy, pleasure, delight. of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of Christian virtues. When we draw near to the throne, into his presence, God's grace cleanses us. God's grace strengthens us. It increases our faith. It increases our knowledge and revelation of him and our passion for him. For sure, we need to approach this throne to receive this grace and mercy so that we can persevere with a holy passion, continually kindled with his fire. And when we are desperate for the salvation of the Lord, we are urged to come into this most holy place. We are urged to approach the throne of grace and ask for God's grace and mercy, for his grace is also a grace where he exerts his holy influence and he turns hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Draw near, receive mercy and grace in your prayers is the cry of heaven for us. We are given a powerful picture of the throne room in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 7:25, it tells us that Jesus is sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father, where he always lives to make intercession for us. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us as well, with groans, deep groans that words cannot express. They're interceding for us that the will of God would be performed in our lives and through us. Why are we admonished to enter the throne room of heaven? Why are we admonished to approach this throne of grace with confidence and boldness? Because it is in this most holy place of the presence of God where there is intercession that is going forth to God Almighty on our behalf by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. They are interceding with deep groans. You can be sure of this according to the Word of God. They are interceding that we would be in the perfect will of God. They are interceding and fighting for us that we would stand holy, blameless, perfected in the work of Christ. That we would stand steadfast and sure, that we would overcome the devil in every area, following Christ at every turn in our lives. And so we are urged to enter the throne room and receive grace for our sins, to call out for mercy upon situations that God would turn hearts to him, to call out for his mercy and grace that he would perform his prophetic word in situations and lives. We are to call out for grace that he would kindle the fire within us. We are to call out for grace in these moments that he would strengthen our faith, that he would deepen our revelation and our knowledge of him. We are to call out for mercy that we would overcome with his power, mercy to be strengthened in faith. As we stand in the most holy place, let us cry out and intercede with the Holy Spirit for those who are broken and those who are lost. Lord, let your mercy and grace be poured out upon us, we ask. And number three, the final thing tonight is labor for God's kingdom with confidence and boldness. Hebrews 4, verse 11 and 16 in the Amplified reads, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience as those who died in the wilderness. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moments." We must labor, church, to enter into this spiritual rest. We must be diligent to draw near to the very throne room of heaven in his presence, to be serious and passionate in our worship and prayer warfare. Let us with privilege, it says, approach the throne with confidence and without fear. And it's interesting that it uses this word without fear here, because you can be sure that at the door to the throne room of heaven, there are enemies trying to stand in your way from entering in, from pushing past, from drawing closer to the Lord. There are enemies at the door of this throne room trying to keep you from entering and laboring for your spiritual breakthrough and victory. There are enemies of fear, enemies of doubt, unbelief, enemies of apathy, compromise, of just a settling in and being comfortable with where we are and where we've been. These enemies are trying to hinder your higher praise, your deeper worship, your groanings in the spirit, and we must overcome every weakness of the flesh. We must overcome every temptation of the devil with the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within us. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm so thankful tonight that God, by his grace and by his mercy, enables us to be overcomers as we labor together for his kingdom with a spirit of faith, with a spirit of belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus is the name above every other names, that there is healing in the name of Jesus, there is freedom and breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful for these promises. And he calls us to labor, to diligently work, to enter into this most holy place. Verse 12 of Hebrews 4 promises us that the word of God is quick. It is powerful. It is effective to work in our lives. And that means that when we take the word of God and we begin to pray it, prophesy it, live according to it, believe it with everything that we are, that the word of God is quick and effective to pull down every single stronghold that is working against our holy and passionate pursuit of seeing God's kingdom advance in our lives. There is power and victory for us tonight in the word of God, and I'm so thankful for that. Let's have the worship team return at this time. We must approach the throne and labor with confidence and boldness. And understand tonight that this boldness is meant to come from a humble confidence of who we are in Christ. What can we be confident of as we draw near to him? Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, there is a work that Jesus has begun in your life. No matter how young you are tonight, no matter how wise you are tonight, Jesus has begun a work in you, and he is faithful to complete this work until his return. He will complete his calling and his work if we would receive the holy fire and the passion that God desires to impart to us. We can be confident that his word is faithful and true. We can stand with confidence that Jesus is interceding for you and your family to overcome. This is the promise in the word of God. Jesus weeps. He weeps over the lost. And I wonder if you could hear his weeping tonight for your life, for you to be an overcomer, for you to be strong in the holy truth of the word of God. We can be confident that the promises of God, they are yes and amen over those who choose holiness and righteousness. Psalm 27, 1 and 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. It doesn't matter what you are facing, who you are facing. It doesn't matter if the odds seem like they are about to overtake you. We can be confident that Jesus Christ is surrounding us, that Jesus Christ is fighting for us, and that he has already won our victory. We can be confident in Isaiah 43, 1 to 2. But now thus says the Lord who created you. You can put your name in there. And he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. We must believe that the Lord is a rewarder of those who are diligent to seek him. Those who have faith, he rewards those who have faith. He rewards those who honor and trust that his ways and his path is always better than ours. And in this most holy place of the throne room of heaven, there are deep intercessions. There is deep worship going forth for God's kingdom to be advanced. And the invitation is for us to partner with heaven. How many want to partner with heaven? I want to partner with the angels. I want to partner with the prophetic word of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit that is alive within us. Let us determine to draw near. Let us receive grace and mercy for holiness and breakthrough. Let us labor and war for God's kingdom with confidence and boldness. There is an urgency upon the church to heed the word of God in these days. There is an urgency upon Christians to not mix the unholy with the holiness of our God. There is an urgency upon us to get rid of the sin, to get rid of the pride that so easily entangles us, and to live free, to rise up and to choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Will you stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God Almighty, for he is our victor. He is worthy of that. Revelation chapter 4, you can read it on your own, but it's a beautiful picture of the throne room of heaven. And I pray that you will be stirred by it as you perhaps read it with fresh eyes. But it says that in this throne room of heaven, there is a door that stands open. And inside there is worship that is being poured unto God Almighty day and night. You see the door to the throne room of heaven. It stands wide open to us every single day. It stands open to us. And there is a call for us to enter this place, to worship with such abandon and passion. Let's stand together tonight. I want to really believe tonight that the Lord would want to do something in some of your hearts and some of your lives tonight. There is an urgency upon the church to enter the most holy place, to leave the works of the flesh at the door. It's time to leave your brokenness and your hurts at the door. It's time to leave these things, to enter into his healing. Today, if you hear his voice, tonight, if you hear his voice, the Holy Spirit says, do not harden your hearts. But would you respond? Would you receive the grace and mercy of Jesus over your life? Can you hear the Holy Spirit calling your name tonight? Can you hear the weeping of Jesus as he weeps for your soul, as he longs for your freedom, for your commitments, for your trust? Tonight there is a throne of mercy that is calling your name. There is a throne of grace that is calling you to run to it, to draw near, to call out for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. There is a throne of grace and mercy tonight that calls the church to enter into, to draw near, to go deeper, to go further, to go higher, to just begin to get hungry for more. Let us enter and approach, receive the grace and mercy. Let your faith be strengthened tonight. Be confident as you stand in the most holy place. Let us war for the kingdom of God. Revelation 5, 11 to 13. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. This is our declaration tonight, church. as a family of God, we say, worthy are you, Jesus, to receive our highest praise. Would you close yourself in with the Lord? Would you just begin to press into that most holy place? Just take a couple of minutes tonight, and let's join heaven. Let's join the angels tonight. Let's stand with confidence and boldness and receive mercy if you need to receive mercy. Receive the grace to strengthen, to increase your faith tonight. But let us honor and glorify our Lord Jesus tonight as we war for his kingdom. Hallelujah.